Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's good to say that. It's good to hear that. I don't know if you have memories of Christmas as a child. I have some. I have a lot of my memories, for whatever reason, are kind of just squashed and gone. But I do have memories of Christmas. Most of them are feelings. Most of them are emotions. They get triggered by songs. They get triggered by movies. They get triggered by even Christmas lights as I'm driving around at night. I don't know if any of you are like this. It can be kind of brought back to the forefront of our minds. I do have some memories of really cool toys around the Christmas tree. I got my first skateboard that was actually truly mine that I could skate, but I lived in Oregon in the middle of nowhere, and we had like a 20-foot porch, and everything else was gravel. So I had like a 20-foot skate park, as my son would probably call it. But most of my memories have changed over the years. What I mean by that is I've changed. Christmas has not changed, but I have. So based on what I've been through, based on the things I've seen, my memories kind of shift. My feelings, my emotions either get stronger or lighter. And you may think this way. I wonder how many of us can think back to a feeling we had about Christmas or wish it was like it used to be. Anyone have that thought? I wish it was like it used to be. I wish someone else was here. I wish I had that thing. I wish my family was still this big. I wish I was this big. I wish I could come downstairs and open a stocking, although some of us in our old age still do that. But Christmas has changed. It has gotten far away from the mold. We've talked about this before in different aspects. If someone's making a mold of something, they take the original, usually put it in plaster, and they create the mold. Redundant. But then they pour in clay or whatever they want, metals, and now they have a reproduction. But the reproduction is never quite the same. And there's two ways you can do this. You can make a whole bunch of reproductions from the single mold, or you can make another mold of the reproduction. And then continue on, and what you do is you get exponential difference. Unfortunately, I think our Christmases are starting to become exponentially different than the original. Exponentially different, and the biggest way is money. Money is insane. Gifts are insane. My wife and I talk about this often at Christmas time, but I did read this. Hold on to your britches. In 2024, advertisers are expected to spend around $10.5 billion just on Christmas advertising. Just on the advertising. Last year, this year is not compiled yet, last year, Americans spent $964 billion at Christmas. Now, for those of you who had to break this down like I do, that's 964,000 millions. Or we could have just taken every single human in the United States and given them $2,877. Every single person. What's crazier is this year they think it'll be almost $980 billion. Almost $1 trillion only in America spent on Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with gifts. There's nothing wrong with trees. There's nothing wrong with lights. But what happens is it starts to become this thing that drowns out the rest of the important stuff. Has it drowned out yours? Christmas, for what much of the world celebrates, is becoming, bear with me here, Christless. Christless. Talked a couple weeks ago about Christmas. Mass means more in Spanish. So maybe it's Christ Mass. We should have more of Christ. But we're becoming Christless. Christless. Christmas is becoming Christless. And we need to avoid the less and pay attention to the mass. Dig into the mass so we don't fall victim of the less. How do we do that? What do we do? Well, we look at the original. We can look at the mold that was reproduced into another mold that was reproduced into another mold over thousands of years, and now we have something watered down and based on what society and the world wants, or we look at the original. Enter in God's Word. What we're going to do this morning is look at an aspect, right? A story among the story. We're going to look at Luke. Luke's story of the birth of Christ Jesus. But what I want us to see this morning, the bottom line, is we need more of Christ Jesus at our Christmas. Now, bear with me. Listen to this. Hear me out. Christmas does not need more Jesus. Our Christmas might. Our celebration might. Because Christmas is what it is. And we can talk about the origin and we'll get into that and we're not going to go crazy with it. But what we do celebrate, the biblical version of Christmas, that's what we're looking at. It is full of Jesus and it won't ever change. Yet some of us have allowed the world to steer us in a direction that is, what some would say, watered down. How do we become Christful at Christmas? So if you wouldn't mind standing up, grab your Bibles, open them to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book of the New Testament. If I gave you the page, well, I'm on page 1120. That might work for Brody because he's got the Bible like me, but he's upstairs. So the rest of you, it's really to the right, right of center. I'm going to read it, so I'll read it in the ESV, but I'm going to say a prayer first. But what I want us to notice is how much of this is all about Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, before we jump into your word, will you help us give ourselves to you? Help us give our Christmas to you. Guide us in what we think, what we feel, what we know, and what we want. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You may have a seat. Bless you. Awesome story. Most of us know it so well. We sing about it. We just sang about it. What's it about? It's about the birth of Christ. It's about Jesus. But what I want us to see, the first kind of like point, if you want to call it a point, is that we need more of Christ Jesus in our meaning of Christmas. In our meaning of Christmas. We need more of Christ Jesus and our meaning of Christmas. And literally what that means. What Christmas means to us. If we were to go take a poll of our cities, just random people, the beach, the skate parks, the basketball courts, the schools, the stores, and say, what does Christmas mean? You're going to get a myriad of answers. What is Christmas about? You'll get even more. This is what Christmas is about, what we just read. That is the origin of Christmas. Now, Christmas, if you will, just to settle this for your minds, I think the very first time The word Christmas was used, I think, as 1080, ever written down somewhere. 1038 AD. The Catholic Church Encyclopedia has it that they used it for Christ's Mass, a service where they took the Eucharist, which is our communion for Christ. And that was the first use of it, and obviously things have changed and they've done things, and whether you want to get into what they've added, what they've subtracted, that is all not necessary this morning. What we're looking at this morning is the Bible's version of Christmas, and as we celebrate it. But we need more of Christ in the meaning of our Christmas. The angels, right? The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." They gave the shepherds the meaning of Christmas. Can you imagine the shepherds? I don't know what a night looks like in the region of Bethlehem where shepherds are out there. It's probably a silent night. Maybe it's a holy night. It may have all been calm. It may have been bright. It got bright. But it was probably quiet with the occasional meh. Right? I mean, that's what it is. Right? It's just a day, an evening. They're chilling, maybe. Maybe they're fighting off a wolf. I don't know. But that's what's happening. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears. Most of the time when we read about angels appearing in the Bible, people are afraid. They hit the deck. Like, whoa. But an angel appears, and they're scared. So obviously, these are shepherds. They're used to stuff. They're used to issues, and now they're afraid. So obviously, it's a big deal. And the angel, what does the angel say? Don't be afraid. And literally, it's like the angel said, guess what just happened? They didn't say anything, because they didn't say, guess what happened? They wouldn't have been able to guess it. But it's like they just told him. Christmas happened. They didn't use those words, but basically that's the origin of this time. The shepherds are the first to hear this story. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's Christmas. Christ the Lord, the Savior, is born in the city of David. And then it says there was a whole plethora, if you will, for the word, of heavenly hosts praising God. But the glory of the Lord came with this angel. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them. So it definitely was a bright night. And it definitely was a holy night. All was not calm at this point, but all was probably bright. The glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord, we can't even comprehend. It's not just a star and like, oh, a little angel, like a little Cupid. Like, this is God's glory and majesty surrounding these shepherds. It's a big deal about Jesus. It wasn't just, hey, and when you're done with that goat, if you happen to pass by Bethlehem, you know, there's a gal, she just had a baby, they don't really have much money, you know, they're gonna, you know, like, if you could just go by and say hi. That's not it. It's in a sense, the heavens broke open. The angels came out. They're praising God. And what do they sing? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This child institutes angels giving glory to God. It's good news of great joy. Because of the birth of Jesus, the good news is that the Christ is born, but even the development, the whole thing of what Christ is, the gospel. It's like the initiation of the gospel on earth. That Christ is born, he's going to live a sinless life, he's going to die on the cross for all of our sins, he's going to be buried, he's going to beat death, raised from the grave, and ascend to heaven. And prepare a place for all of us. That's what just got started. That's Christmas. It's not just the birth and nothing else. The day is that. But what it means is all about Jesus. Trees are okay. Lights are okay. Family's good. Carols are good. The meaning is Jesus. I wonder what, if we just look at our Christmas day, how much Jesus is in it? It can be difficult, especially when you got little rugrats running around and all they want is presents. All that's totally fun. It's great. Presents are good. The wise men brought them. Totally fine. But is that it? right? Is that it? Or is it just the hot cider? Or is it just the in-laws? Or the outlaws, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. And I say that because I'll be one day. It's okay. But what is our Christmas about? See, you can take away the Christmas tree. You still got Jesus. You still got Christmas. You can take away the lights. You still got Jesus. You still got Christmas. You can take away the Christmas carols. You still got Jesus and Christmas. Take away all the presents. You still got Jesus. You still got Christmas. If you take away Jesus, you got the world's version of a cool party. And the world, run by the devil, is trying to just filter out Christ more and more. It happens all the time. Christmas is all about Jesus. In fact, even when the angel told Joseph in his dream, Matthew 1 says this, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. This is all about God coming as a son. It's all about the baby Jesus. And what he means, what he came for, why he is here, what it is all about. Second thing, we need more of Christ Jesus and our praise at Christmas. And our praise at Christmas. Now, we praise Jesus all the time in this congregation. I'll just be honest with you. Most of my favorite songs, a lot of my favorite songs are just secular songs. It's not bad, but the world doesn't want to bring Jesus into Christmas. It's rocking around the Christmas tree, right? I'll be home for Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I don't dream of those anymore. I had a couple of those. They're cold, bro. They're like cold. Like, I don't want them. Take them. I'll look at it from the window. Maybe I'll have one or two. It's fine. But I don't dream of that. Do we dream of Jesus? Do we sing songs about Jesus? And when we sing, is it just here that we praise God? Just wondering. Do we praise God just in church? It might be the only place we feel comfortable, and that's a whole other conversation. But is this the only place? Oh yeah, I sing to Jesus on Sunday mornings. So out of my 168 hours a week, I spend about 17 minutes praising Jesus. I'm not going to do it in my car. I got Jack FM on. Or whatever else it is. Although 103.5 praise Christmas music. Sometimes they actually have Jesus in it. But when do we praise God? Is our Christmas full of the praising of Jesus? Or is it praising the dollar? Or praising the Christmas tree? Or praising the lights? I drove last night. I was driving in the dark. Happens every night. I was driving in the dark. And there was a rad tree. It was all lit up. And I was like, I want to go there with my family and see that. It was rad. And I was, in a sense, giving praises to that thing. And that's not bad. But I was like, is that what most of our stuff is? I think it's like $88 billion or something that we spend on Christmas trees and Christmas lights. It's just ridiculous. It's insanity. And that's okay if it's secondary or third dairy or fourth dairy or non-dairy. Sorry, I had to. Just came. But is it about Jesus? Is it about Jesus? I feel like I'm going to be a broken record, but what better broken record to be? In fact, the whole Bible is about Jesus. The before, the prophecies, the during, the after, the awaiting of Jesus. And we should praise God, praise Jesus all the time. But when this season, the world actually accepts the holiday. So you get to walk into it. People are already celebrating it. They just maybe need to hear more Jesus in it. Like, the people got the lights in their yard. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what that's for? Hey, you know why there's gifts? I'm getting a whole argument about that. But you know what Jesus is about? You know what Christmas is about? It's about Jesus. We need more of Jesus. The angels praised God, right? They praised God. And then the shepherds, they went and they told Mary and Joseph. They even told Mary and Joseph what the angels told them, which may have blown their minds. Right, can you mix your Mary and Joseph with the child? And then these shepherds come and go, guess what? the sky was full of these angels, and they said, good news of great joy for all the people came because of this baby. A Savior's been born, and this is him. He's in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. They were probably like, bro, whoa, what? Even though they knew, but can you imagine? But again, it was all about the baby. It was all about Jesus. It was all about the Savior, the Messiah, the good news of great joy. It wasn't about the manger. It wasn't even about Mary. It wasn't about Joseph. It wasn't about the census. Now, that's all great parts of it, but it's about Jesus. The wise men came. What do? They worshiped the child. They even came and said, we follow this star. We're here to worship the king. They go to Herod. You know where the king's supposed to be born? We're going to worship him. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. Do we praise God because of our presence, our family, our tree, our lights, our happiness? Those are all okay. But do we praise God for Jesus? Because what we might take advantage of or take for granted, is that most of us, if we're saved, we sit here set. Literally, we're set. Our salvation is set. God's preparing a place for us in heaven. But don't let that go to waste. Praise God for it. Celebrate God for it. Share with others about it. And especially in a season when it's given. In fact, there are people singing Christmas carols and singing about the newborn king being born, and they mean I, whoo! Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. People are singing that. Some of them have no clue. No clue. Some of them thought about it as a kid because they were brought to Bible school, and then maybe it's gone. We are the witnesses. We'll get to that in a minute. Psalm 34, 1 to 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Bless you. That should be all the time. It should be all the time. But magnified by umpteenth at Christmas. Next thing, we need more of Christ in our visits and our fellowship at Christmas. Our visits and our fellowship. It's very easy to have a Christmas party and Jesus doesn't come up at all. It just happens. Good food, nice sweater. I like the bells. Tree smells nice. So does whatever's on the stove. Man, that food is good. Thanks for the presents. I love you. Merry Christmas. Again, it may not be bad, but it's not what it was originally about. Think of that mold. Think of that reproduction. If that's the reproduction, that had nothing to do verbally with any of the original. We need more of Christ in our visits and our fellowship. The shepherds went and they hung out with them because of Jesus, right? Because of what the angels told them. And they talked about Jesus. And it says, let me say this correctly. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were telling everybody that there was good news of great joy because the Savior was born. They were telling everybody who could hear it that there was good news of great joy that a Savior was born. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wow, what in the world is that all about? There were angels in the sky because of this child? The child that those people couldn't, they had to put him in the manger? And that's the Savior? That's the Messiah, the baby Jesus? The one that the people have in their front yard and it's in a little steeple and there's a sheep next to it and a donkey, and then there's a little poop with a star, like that baby, that's what it's all about. The baby is what it's all about. Have you heard the great news? And what did the shepherds do when they left? They returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Glorifying and praising God for the Jesus stuff. Maybe not because they got out of work that night. Who knows what's going on with their sheep? Hopefully they're okay. And whatever you do, Colossians 3:17 tells us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to keep rubbing this over and over and over. We have a season, a holiday that is handed to us. Our jobs give us the day off for it. And all we can do is say, you know what it's about? It's about the baby Jesus being born. And I mean, think of all the things you can go in there. You can talk about salvation. You can talk about sinlessness. You can talk about death on the cross, the good news of great joy, the good news of the gospel. We're going to read on a little bit. If you have your Bibles open, follow with me. I'm going to start in verse 22 and read through the end of the Bible. Just kidding. I'm just going to go for a few more verses. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for the sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting with prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The last thing I want us to see is we need more of Christ in our interactions during Christmas. Not just our gatherings, our interactions at the gas pump, the grocery store line, at church. Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. No, Merry Christmas. You know what's interesting? If I tell the Siri thing in our kitchen, play Christmas classics, you know what he says back? Playing holiday classics. I wanted Christmas classics, not just holiday classics. I want Christ more, not Christ less. I want Christ in it. How do we insert Christ? Merry Christmas. How do we insert Christ more into our interactions at Christmas? Simeon took the child in his arms. Can you imagine? Mary and Joseph. I mean, I've known a lot of moms in my day with babies, and I stay away from them other than mine when they're really young. But even mine, I was like, oh, okay, how do I not break this thing, right? And like he took this child in his arms, and it was the Savior. Like, well, I'd have been like, okay, God, help me out. I'm about to pick up the Savior. Like, let's do this, right? But he picks a child in his arms. And what does he do? He praises God. He talks about God, talks about Jesus, talks about the redemption of Israel. He's discussing what this is. And their minds are still probably blown. But he's bringing Jesus into it in the whole picture. And then Anna, she don't even know them. She starts talking about all of it. Those who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That means the Israelites who are waiting for their Messiah, waiting for their Savior. That's Jesus. Now, they have no understanding of what and how it's going to be, but there's still Jesus in their midst, the Messiah, the Savior in their midst. All part of the Christmas story. I think some Christians, we can get to the point where, and you might be here, where Christmas has always been about Jesus for us, right? You know, and we have all the other stuff, but it's so much about Jesus that it's almost, we don't think of it that way. Right? And so we don't talk like we're at church. Like everybody here knows, right? Like it's just a thing. Newsflash. It ain't like that outside. There's a lot of people who do think it's about the lights and about the tree and about the gifts. And maybe that's it. And again, maybe they have heard about the baby, but they don't get it. They don't get that the good news of great joy was that this baby is God incarnate in human form coming to save us and them because they don't have a clue or have no way to get out of their sin unless it's through Jesus. Amen? But the world keeps trying to push Jesus out. Right? The world keeps trying to put Jesus out. How do we bring Jesus in more? Do we say happy holidays or do we say Merry Christmas? And that seems small, but it's weird. That's just the way the world's going. It's happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Oh, you're like a rebel. He said Merry Christmas. I said happy holidays. He said Merry Christmas. Will we do that? Do we dare tell people about Jesus? Do we dare witness about Jesus? Acts 1:8. Many of you know this, many of you don't. But Jesus tells his disciples, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And that's Jerusalem small, Judea, the region, Samaria outside of that, and to the ends of the earth. There is this exponential growth. We're to be witnesses about Jesus. How much greater opportunity do we have in the birth of Jesus? Like if someone came to my birthday, they're like, oh, Brandon's 30 today, that's rad. Oh yeah, what was he like as a kid? Oh, hopefully it's about me. I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying, but the birthday is about me. Right? You come to my child's birthday, it's all about them. Oh, look, oh, how are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Why don't we talk about Jesus on his birthday? What gift would we give Jesus for his birthday? Angels are part of the Christmas story. Check this out. But they were there all for Jesus. The shepherds are part of the Christmas story. They're in it all because of Jesus. Simeon and Anna, part of the Christmas story. They're all in it because of Jesus. And look, let's look at the other parts of the story real quick as we finish here. The band can come on up. Look how much God is telling us about Jesus. Like the angel Gabriel, right? He came, he told about Jesus who would be born. The angel going to Joseph said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is in her is from the Lord. The angels tell the shepherds, we just did that. Then the shepherds tell Mary and Joseph. Simeon, Anna, the Magi, they came because of Jesus. The gifts were given to Jesus. The flight to Egypt was to save the life of Jesus. Going back was to bring Jesus back out of Egypt. I called my son. This is all about Jesus. And a bunch of our elements and our households are great. Again, nothing wrong with presents and trees and family and food and all that. But it should be hopefully submissive to Jesus, because if we take Jesus out, we ain't got Christmas. It's not. But if you take all the other stuff out, you can have Christmas. You can have Christmas just you sitting on a surfboard in the middle of the ocean with nothing else. You can have Christmas. You can have Christmas hanging from a parachute. I don't know who's going to go parachute on Christmas, but you get me, right? It doesn't take much from our perspective. The last thing about it is if we rely on any of these other things, they will fail us. Even your most loved spouse, I love you all, but you'll fail your spouse now and again. Money will fail you. The tree will fail you. It will go dry. It may fall over. It may spark a fire. The presents will be not what you wanted. They'll last 6 months, whatever it is. All of these things will fail. The most beautiful thing with this growth of it is Jesus will never fail you. If we keep Jesus as the center of our Christmas, it will always work. It will always be there. It will never change. It's always this. And again, the additions are fine. But if this is the core, bring it. But if this is gone, it's Christless. So let us be Christmas at Christmas. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, your story teaches us about Jesus. And then there's so many stories after that about Jesus. But for some reason, we have an enemy who wants to pull us away from Jesus. We need your strength. We need your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, your love, and thank you for giving all of that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find the joy and praise and worship of Jesus in our Christmas. Help us to have more of Jesus in our Christmases. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.